You are locked in to Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net.
The following program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Full Gamut Radio or Live 365. If you don't like what is said, then we suggest you leave and come back later.
The following program is brought to you by TheAmericanBeacon.com, a logical, conservative's editorial dedicated to the truth and common sense ideals that made America great.
Some themes, visuals, language, and situations may not be suitable for very young audiences. Parental guidance is advised.
This program is brought to you in part by
the Central Intelligence Agency, America's premier foreign intelligence agency.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
From Full Gamut Radio and TheAmericanBeacon.com, this is The American Beacon Radio Show, hosted by Bill McMichaels, Ryan Genovese, and Miss Kristen Atkins.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. That the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the American Beacon Radio Show here on Full Gamut Radio.
I'm waiting on retractions.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You're in traction.
Retractions.
Yeah?
You know, we don't need to start this off on a foul note when we're already starting it off on a foul note.
Yeah.
Every single moronic liberal who accused Andrew Breitbart of doing drugs or anything like that related to his cause of death, I demand retractions from you freaks.
Well,
the toxicology test has come back.
Right.
The only thing they detected was a 0.04 in his blood alcohol concentration. That's it.
I didn't even realize that was going on. I mean, I know there
just came out today.
I know there were a lot of idiot attacks on him, and you know, some of those morons were happy that
everything
he passed
going
on.
On from the day that the news broke. These
unreal.
People are sick.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. And
but you know what? Even in death, he's still winning. So I'll put it that way, and it'll piss them off.
Yeah. So. Amen to that. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, for me, my whole mainly Newsday started waiting for, you know, the whole Zimmerman thing. Not that it was huge.
Oh, that's going wonderful, too, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just the coverage alone. You know, it started out with just the accusations of the racism and everything. Oh, he was never attacked. There isn't proof. But why is it, you know, how many weeks later, the information, material behind the story already out there, but now they're starting to gradually leak it out so they don't look like total buffoons. I don't know, but a photo today released exclusively by ABC's Good Morning America showing a huge, I don't know, gash, cut, blood on the back of Zimmerman's head, indicating, gosh, maybe he was telling the truth when he said his head was bashed against the sidewalk.
No, we're still waiting on the first piece of evidence from the prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
The first piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, a lot of mixed reviews. I'm so heated about it, and, you know, I've got that for lack of a better term, piss and vinegar in me still to this day. I guess that's why I played football, just because I'm a pretty intense person when it comes to things, and I tend to jump to conclusions. But I called up my father from work today, pretty ticked, hearing that he apologized, and to me, you apologize. And, you know, this is my warped way of thinking. I mean, he calmed me down, but apologizing to me is when you did something wrong. And I don't really think if he's telling the truth and if what has been said.
Yeah, but no, if you listen to the words of his apology, I don't have any objections to it. Yeah. He said, "I'm sorry for the loss of your son." I mean, that's fine.
Right.
No, he's young. You know, he wasn't that old. But I mean, the kid, 17, 18.
I guess the whole point I'm making is, yet again, the news media twisting it into the way they want.
It's not an admission of
exactly.
guilt.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I was,
that's what
thinking.
Yeah, I agree that that's what they're reading it as, but I don't see it as an admission of guilt.
My whole point, jumping to conclusions after hearing the news report, after, the bond hearing and everything else. So, and I don't know. I may be seeing more into it. I think there's more going on than all of us know. I think this is just a dog and pony show. I really do. Yeah. I think he's going to be acquitted. I think they're already prepared for where he's going to live under, anonymity, whatever. I don't know. But, I think just that week delay was the whole thing just to get him to a safe place and everything else.
I think so. I mean, the whole point, there's absolutely, and we were talking about this, a couple weeks ago. There is nothing to support a charge of second-degree murder.
No, not at all.
Nothing. They have no tangible evidence. There's no witnesses that have come forward that have even come up with a story that relates to the one that the prosecution is trying to frame.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of witnesses and, photographic evidence that, really is well in line with Zimmerman's side of the story.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Zimmerman isn't a shady person. I mean, he is. I mean, I've, looked into some of his history. But, the thing is, we still have to, go through the justice process,
right,
constitutionally.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know. second bit of news, I guess.
Just the way they question him and everything like that. I mean, it's just, this idea that we're going to, presumption of guilt before, even, a trial is undergone. This is never the way the justice system was intended to work.
No. But, you have the news media and their agenda and how they present news, and I still have to learn that. Granted, usually the news station I listen to isn't too bad, but, I've got to learn my lesson one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unreal. But something that also, it's not necessarily a huge topic per se, but Obama, I guess, throwing out some, I don't know what you would call it, analogies about Mitt Romney today and Romney going on attack, basically saying that he and the Republicans, were all born with silver spoons in their mouth and have no idea what it is to...
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about finances, because, we got some good stuff on that.
Okay. So. It's unreal. But anyway, the first story here, Alan West, Hope and Change, has now been replaced by Divide and Rule. Imagine.
True.
I guess Alan West on Glenn Beck this morning defending the need to make an argument exposing the communist Marxist ideology that is so prevalent in Congress, as Glenn and Pat lamented that no one else is willing, or lamented rather, that no one else is willing to make the case because most are too concerned about their political future. Wes said that we really don't have a choice but to make this argument if we want to keep our country. And we're going to have a little clip on that, but any comments or anything before we move on?
Let's just go straight to the clip. I've been commenting quite a bit. So,
well, we enjoy it. Don't we? Here we go.
Okay, so Alan West is here to answer the charges. They are trying to make you look like Joseph McCarthy, Alan.
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing? Well, they can try to use the Saul Alinsky tactic of, ridicule and castigate in a negative light, but they're not answering the question that I think the American people want to hear. You know, what are the principles and values that they believe in? Do they believe in the growth of a bureaucratic nanny state? Do they believe in the constitutional republic? Do they believe in individual sovereignty, or do they believe in collective subjugation? Do they believe in economic freedom and our free market? Do they believe in nationalized production?
They won't answer any of those questions. And this is the thing that this is the debate that America should have without shame on either side. Look, if America wants a big government that is run by an administrator and a bunch of czars and a president who has really made Congress pretty much irrelevant, but you want to move in that direction and you want all of this free stuff you want, you know, everything that they're preaching, that Marx is preaching, then make that case. And then we have to make the case that, no, that's the wrong way. But they won't have that debate, and that is really the debate we should be having.
You're absolutely right, because this is a choice between two very different futures. And if we're not able to draw the contrast, which really does, as I tried to explain to Soledad, it comes down to an ideological separation on the principles of governance. And the American people have to realize that, and the American people have to be educated to be able to make the right type of decision. And I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to backtrack, because I think that this is an important decision that has to be made, and it's an important debate that has to be held in this country. And so all of this childish stuff that they're doing and, you know, running around trying to do all the name calling, they're running away from the real issue.
Okay.
Who are you? What do you stand for? Because when you go back and you look at the Woodrow Wilson administration, the creation of the Federal Reserve, that's a part of Marxist ideology with a centralized bank. When you look at how we took taxation from being on consumption to production, and the income tax was only supposed to be temporary, it was supposed to stay at low levels, but at low rates. But now we have a president that's talking about using the tax code as a weapon of mass destruction and a tool for a socioeconomic divide.
You're Penthouse Magazine for conservatives right now. That's what you are. This is conservative porn.
It is, but
this is good stuff, man.
Sadly, you're the only one brave enough to say this stuff, Alan. Everybody else is so worried about their political future, they won't do it.
It's not only that. You're the only guy that...
Gentlemen, the bottom line is this. If you're not willing to make this case and make this debate, you don't have a political future.
He's my VP,
because
right.
Because you don't have a country.
You're right.
Because you will have an administration, as you clearly articulated, that will create a shadow government run by czars that will really administrate and rule over this country. Let's be very honest. Hope and change has now been replaced by divide and rule. That's their goal. That's their objective. Mm.
But to be as frank as you are, is you know, we were talking about this earlier in the week when you said what you said, and we loved what you said. But we all thought, well, there goes any chance for him to be tapped as the next vice president of the United States.
I'm not worried about being tapped as a vice president.
I know, but we were. We were worried about it, Alan. We
want on to my children.
If
you remember right, we were willing to make you the president of the United States.
We were going to put you at the top of the ticket, which you told us to stop doing.
Now you won't even hear the second ticket.
Why would you want to ask someone that does not have the courage to stand up for the principles that he believes in?
It's true. We wouldn't. You're absolutely right.
So you're one of the only guys that I can that I've heard. This is a war on everybody. We're dividing everybody. And the latest from the White House is he didn't mean anything by saying silver spoon. He wasn't trying to say that Mitt Romney was born on a silver spoon. He's not against the rich. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but see, truly, let's bring this out for what it is. you know, once again, President Obama showed he does not understand American exceptionalism. Because everyone that is born in the United States of America is born with a silver spoon. It's the silver spoon of liberty, freedom, democracy. Mm. It's the silver spoon. Those individual rights, rights that come from our Creator, not from man, not from government, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which John Locke called property. It's the silver spoon that so many people have come to the shores of the United States of America because it stands for equal opportunity, not equality of achievement that's dictated to you from on high. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I live in a country where, you know, we do give a silver spoon to everyone that's born here based upon their drive and determination. And we shouldn't run away from that. And once again, as I said, that shows that this president does not understand the basic ideals of American exceptionalism and the uniqueness of this constitutional republic.
You know, there's an interesting thing has happened to us. More people live below the poverty line in the 1940s. It was a staggering percentage.
Way more.
And yet, if you ask the American population in 1948, are you rich, are you poor, or are you middle class? The majority, and again, it was like, I think it was in the 90 percentile range, would say, I'm middle class. And that's because everybody saw themselves as we're in it together. We're all one. Even though you might have been poor or you might have been rich, you saw yourself as middle class, and we were united on that. And now, Alan, I have to tell you, Pat and I got off the air yesterday, and he was coming up the stairs to my office, and I said, Pat, I have to tell you, I don't know how we survive this. I look at the news of the day, and I see the lies that are coming out of this administration, the lies that are coming out of the press, the way they have done everything they can to separate us in our faith, separate us in our gender, separate us in
racial separation, economic separation.
It's crazy.
It's all very Orwellian, and it's all Marxist. It's the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. In every way, shape, form, and fashion. And that is not what, you know, quote-unquote, we were told that the president was a great uniter. Well, he's not. It's about dividing this country so that he can be able to rule this country. And I have to be very specific in articulating that. And more people need to have the courage, who are, you know, conservatives, Republicans, whatever, to be able to draw that contrast. You're not going to win if you're not able to draw the contrast between who you are and what you stand for against the other side.
Have you sat down with Mitt Romney? How do you feel about him, and does he get this stuff?
Well, I mean, I'm you know, kind of busy trying to be a good congressional representative. I'd be more than happy to sit down with anyone and help them their message and to be able to, you know, respond. We have to identify who the other side is. And I think, you know, when you go back to Sun Tzu and he talks about understanding your adversary and reading and studying their strategy and tactics, you got to go back and you have to read, you know, Karl Marx, the Communist Manifesto. You have to read Engels. You have to read Saul Alinsky, because this is the playbook that they're using. And educate the American people on, you know, how that is not in concert
with
the values of this Constitution. Republic and what our founding fathers created for us, and how the further we get away from that, the closer we get toward the demise.
They are trying. They're really trying to set up the Paris Commune of 1870 or 1880 with Occupy Wall Street. I mean, they really are just taking pages from the past.
George Santayana said it very clearly in the 1920s, you know, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so I want to educate our electorate. I want to have this ideological debate. And, you know, all the foolishness of the other side and, you know, how they're trying to, you know, call me Joe McCarthy. Well, you know, first of all, I look better than that guy anyhow, so I'm not concerned about that.
I don't know if they meant it by looks, but, I mean, what you just said was accurate, but... Alan West, thank you so much, and don't sit down, man. We really wanted to have you on because we see it so rarely that somebody will actually speak the truth, and then after they're pounded into sand,
they stand by it. Fantastic.
And I haven't seen a politician say anything close to what you said, and then after a week or so of being pounded for it, you come back and you say it again in the same strong terms, and I admire you for it. I admire you for it.
Well, gentlemen, always remember that the Spartans at Thermopylae, even though they were encircled, they still stood in the gap at Thermopylae, and they stood upon the principles that they had sworn to their city-state. So I stand upon the oath that I took to support and defend the Constitution of this great nation against all enemies.
God bless you, man. God Thank bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Glenn Beck.
I like that guy.
Alan West, yes. But, you know, come on. He's just another McCarthy. He's just blowing a fake horn, a warning.
He's throwing around evil terms like communist and social and Marxist. Oh, like, you know, he's name-calling. No, he's substantively judging based on the fruits of your ruling, Mr. President.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. I want this guy as vice president so badly.
It would
I don't think there could be a better pick right now. I mean, Rubio, he's a, you know, probably just as good, except for he's got a Senate seat that we can't afford to lose. West is not in that situation. And we need him. I really think we do.
Well, he seems to be definitely a man who knows his history and the pitfalls of which, you know, learning from it and everything else.
He knows every single instance in which the same thing has been tried before in history and how it's fallen.
Yeah. You
know, and, you know, people need to make note of that.
I studied, you know, the whole Marxism and Communist Manifesto, and believe me, I've forgotten half of what I've read, but it all came back to light after listening to that one interview. You know, so, yeah, well said, well done.
He's an incredibly articulate man, and you know what? Could you imagine the vice presidential debates being Alan West versus Joe Biden?
Well, when I was a young man, I was a lawyer, he'd probably say about five times.
When I was a young boy, I was a lawyer, you know, and you know, that wasn't.
He might even throw how the press secretary knows three Hillary Rosens. Which did Hillary call today? By the way,
we didn't get any messages from a Hillary Rosen. No, so we're still looking.
That's a shame.
I guess we'll put them. I guess we'll put the names on the side of a milk carton. Then if something turns up, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
well,
because we're missing two of the three Hillary Rosens still. So.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, what I'm going to do is more evidence of just what Alan West said. I guess we'll go with
this. We've got about 3-4 minutes until the break. Do we need to soil this segment with that, or do we want to push that for
minutes? We can push it a couple minutes. I'm just, you know, it's just another... I think it's just one more piece in the puzzle that's putting it all together on what these people really are, you know?
Oh, I think so, too. I was in such a good mood after hearing Alan West talk. I'm not looking forward to the pitfall of what follows.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I hear you. There's a lot of pits in that fall.
I'll say. I mean, and you know, I guess we could just talk about it a little more. You know, they make an interesting observation in the interview. You know, there's very few people that'll come out and say something, then be challenged and berated by it in the media. And you heard the interview we played last night on the program, in how much he was contested by it. And then he comes back and he doubles down.
Right.
He doesn't back off. He doesn't apologize and say, oh, I was a little incendiary. He doesn't pull a Mitt Romney and go, oh, I think Obama's a nice guy. No. He comes right back and says, no, you know what? I mean what I say, and it's backed up by facts. You know, if you don't want to be called a Marxist, if you don't want to be called a communist, if you don't want to be called a socialist, then don't be one.
Well, and that's the whole thing. When us, you know, that are conservative and know the Constitution, know what the country was founded on, why it was founded, how it was founded. I guess we take a bit more seriously, you know, when we're losing it. And there's a point where, you know, being nice just doesn't work, and you got to call it what it is. And, you know, at the risk of being criticized, I mean, you know, it's human nature to want to try to get along and be liked, but sometimes you just can't be liked, and you've got to call it for what it is, and, you know, that's just the way it is.
It's not the rhetoric that's the problem. It's the action that the rhetoric is describing.
Well, it's calling out what the action truly is. I mean, this whole presidency has been some fantasy on words that aren't true. I mean, I can say the economy's great all I want, but it doesn't make it so. I can say taxing the rich will make it better and trying to get people to believe it. It could even pass, but it doesn't make it so. It's just what it is.
It's the substance of the action that brings out the results, not what you do to persuade people in the la-la world.
Yeah.
And, you know, people need to understand that.
And many need to start doing what they said they were going to do and all this compromise crap. We're at the point where compromise won't work.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, the differences are too great between, you know, what the radical left is fighting for and what conservatives are fighting for, that compromise is futile.
Yes.
I mean, because compromise, the very idea of compromise moves us in a very dangerous direction. And, you know, we've gotten to a point now, you know, where this debt crisis really is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. Because it's we are responsible, you know, what we do in our lives. We are responsible for what gets left afterwards, after us, for the people who come after us, our children, our grandchildren. We're responsible for that. Now, there's people who worked very hard to make sure that we had what we had growing up.
Yeah.
And if we don't do our part for the people after us, you know, that's a big problem. It doesn't. First of all, it doesn't do much for our legacy, and second of all, it's it really affects people.
Well, the irony of that whole statement, I mean, you know, and I'm going to piss a few people off, but I've even discussed this with my father, Daniel in the Den, and I have brought it up on my show. You want to talk about one of the most selfish generations ever created? Yeah. And we're seeing the pitfalls of it right now. It's well said. No one's thinking about the future generation. It's all about now. I mean, they wanted to talk about Reagan and everything. It's them. They're the selfish generation. They're spending us into something that no one's going to get them out of. But
and
they don't
if they ask for evidence, just ask them where their last budget is.
Yeah.
Because they don't have one.
No.
They don't even bring it up. They don't even propose one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, the president, you know, sort of kind of proposed one, but it wasn't really a budget. But the Senate's never, none of the Senate Democrats in the last 3 years have even attempted to bring up a vote on a budget.
Nope.
And they're statutorily required to. But, you know, they've been in blatant defiance of that. And then they're going to tell us how money should be spent. They're going to tell us how much we should be sending them. And then they're going to tell us other things, I guess, that we're going to hear on the other side of the break.
Yep. And we're going to take it now. So I can't wait. I there's nothing like the comments from a Nancy Pelosi to just get my spirits high, let me tell you.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a few. You are
listening.
I tell
you, I wanted to put her on the other side of a commercial break from Alan West because I wouldn't want to, you know, tarnish what Alan West just said. So.
Well, I think it, you know, it may like totally anger you, but I think it all puts puts it in perspective what Alan
West
said.
No, because you know why? It's exactly what he was talking about.
Exactly. So when we get back, you will hear it all. Oh, baby. You're listening to the American Beacon Radio Show. We'll be back in a few.
Streaming 24 hours, 7 days a week. You're listening to Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Yeah, please, please, do not dare if you're going to try to tell me that there was bias in the coverage of CPAC because the camera angles were fixed. Probably the biggest blow to malarkey I've ever heard in my life.
The American Beacon Radio Show is live Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, right here on Live 365 at FGRN.net.
Listen to the Bear Fan Ron Show Friday and Saturday evenings at 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern Time. On the Bear Fan Ron Show, we talk sports, listen to some tunes, and want to hear about what's ever on the listeners' minds. That's the Bear Fan Ron Show, Friday and Saturday evenings, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central Time, on Full Gamut Radio. The Full Gamut of Radio. At FGRN.net.
Windows of the past reflecting on my mistakes.
Streaming from the servers on Live 365. You are locked in to Full Gamut Radio. The Full Gamut of Radio at FGRN.net.
It's the NFL on steroids. The Pay Dirt Football Show. Every week on this station. See the schedule page for day and time.
Join your host, Matt Crevin, for Beyond the Game, a show that takes you behind the scenes of a particular sport and lets you take on the role of coach, manager, or maybe even team owner. That's Beyond the Game, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on Full Gamut Radio, the Full Gamut Radio, at FGRN.net.
It's all about the game, and how you play it. It's all about control, and if you can take it. It's all about your set, and if you can play it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Hi, this is Big Bob, host of the Memory Lane Show, asking you to join me on Saturday, April 21st at 9 a.m. Eastern Time as I feature Manfred Mann. Did you know that he was the first South of England-based group to top the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 during the British invasion? And during their two decades, the group charted 12 hits to include two number one and one gold record. In addition, I'll have What Happened on This Date in Rock and Roll History, comparison cover songs, Rate the Record, and the internationally famous Rock Out, along with other great number one songs, gold records, and covers from the 60s and the 70s. So mark April 21st on your calendars and join me at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on this station, and let's take a stroll together down memory lane when I play the hits that will never die.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back.
Oh, wonderful.
Boy, Nancy Pelosi seems to be everywhere in the news.
Everywhere I look, I have to stand and look at these wrinkles and pearl earring things and know that it's Nancy Pelosi that's trying to lecture me again. Well, about just
that sincere voice does it all for me, you know.
Oh, it does. You know, for how many years has she been in Congress now?
One too
many. 20-something years? It's more than one too many. It's all of them too many.
Yeah. First year was too much, yes.
It's never gotten any more tolerable. In fact, it's gotten progressively, there's the word again, progressive, progressively more intolerable.
Pun intended, but yes. Well, today, boy, she's so stupid. What a statement. I'll just run with it. Pelosi, I wish people would earn more so they can pay more income taxes. God bless her.
Let me translate that. Hey, I wish people could eat more so they would crap more.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, boy. Yes. I hope they can make more so we can take more from them.
Yeah.
But anyway, via the Daily Caller, this is Nancy Pelosi yesterday on Capitol Hill answering a question regarding the 50% or so of American taxpayers who don't owe federal income taxes. Oh, boy. Here we go. Our whatever, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, Lord.
In her weekly press briefing, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was asked about the percentage of Americans who did not pay income tax in 2010.
They do pay taxes. They pay payroll taxes. And this is a tactic that the other side uses to make it sound as if these people are not paying taxes. They are paying taxes. They do have skin in the game. And I think that should be respected. I wish they would earn more so they can pay more, and that's what we're about, the creation of good-paying jobs in our country contribute to our international competitiveness to keep America number one.
On Capitol Hill, I'm Nicholas Bousy, The Daily Caller.
How are they paying payroll taxes if they don't work? That's what I want to know.
Payroll taxes. They're paying into Social Security. That's wonderful.
With no money.
No money.
They're not making any money, but their skin's in the game.
The unemployed are paying payroll taxes. Oh, that's nice.
What skin? I don't even want to answer that anymore.
Paying into Social Security isn't supposed to be skin in the game. That's supposed to be your money. I know they changed that, and counted that as part of the budget that, just goes directly towards, other
Our money
things.
Has become
their
Social Security.
Stolen from Social Security for the last 3 decades, but those aren't taxes. That's a lie, Nancy Pelosi.
Our money has become their Social Security.
I wish they could earn more so they could pay more. That's the way I wake up every morning.
Yeah.
If only I earned more money, then I could pay more taxes.
I want to better myself so I can support the government more.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we all strive to do.
That's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. This
is
the America they
want. Number
one
in the world.
Yes. This is the America that the four Founding Fathers had envisioned, that we can support the government even more. Thank you, Nancy. And Obamacare, it's all there just for you. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I just wonder when people are going to realize that they've been sold snake oil. But, you know, it's another.
Yeah, well.
It's junk.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got another little clip here. It's about the Occupy Unmasked trailer released from Breitbart.
Oh, this just goes right along with everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah, so.
Evil.
You know, because Nancy Pelosi, she's part of the 99%. I know, you know, that's not her income. But,
so. No, it's probably closer to her IQ, but we'll go on from there. Here's the clip.
Pretty generous. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get too mean. I don't want to be Nancy. So here we
okay.
go.
Okay, that's true.
Mic check!
Mic check!
My name is Dylan, and you should be very proud of what you have accomplished.
I agree with your goals. Occupy Wall Street.
God bless them for their spontaneity. It's young. It's spontaneous, and it's going to be effective.
I'm so impressed by what I'm seeing here.
Protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration about how our financial system works.
What's happening here is a real grassroots movement, unlike the Tea Party, which is a manufactured movement.
We call it AstroTurf. It's not really a grassroots movement.
The problem with the Tea Party movement, they're just sewer rats.
They can't continue to be pulled to the right by the radical, unrealistic, unreasonable, I repeat, radical and unpopular faction, the Tea Party.
Hello, citizens of the world. We are anonymous.
I say take the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, go back to hell where your fucking God
cameras caught evidence of drug use and paraphernalia.
Like you have hippies in the bog that actually take acid every day.
Hey, asshole!
This woman who didn't want to be identified claimed she was raped here in one of the tents.
Kenny, you're gonna get fucked up!
Kenny, Rico!
Why are you considering on sex? Yeah, why would you do that?
Safety has become a very big concern around here. They are starting to even assault one another.
Watch it!
I kind of like it that they're sort of militantly vague at this point.
We are finally telling you the true story of the radicals behind the Occupy movement.
Occupy San Francisco, Occupy LA, Occupy DC, and now Occupy Chicago.
Right.
Unreal. Yeah. They did a fine job at already getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're going to play a new trailer or not. That's the same one they played at CPAC. But yeah, no, it's a really good one. And
apologize for the language in it, but, you know.
Andrew Breitbart is going to strike twice.
Yeah.
As he stars in two movies coming out this summer. One is that Occupy Unmasked, the other's Hating Breitbart. He's like one of pretty much the principal star in both of these movies, so yeah, he is here and ready to haunt the left and exposing them.
Wow, I my blood's boiling after watching that. Even though you know what they're about and all of that, seeing it, if you want to view the trailer.
I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, these guys are, they're fighting for a very different vision of America than we are, and people need to understand that. It's not America.
No. Not at all. The socialist states of America, the communist states of America, that's basically what they're fighting for.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for some of them, that's what it is. For some of them, it's, you know, this global thing that they're pushing.
Yeah.
And, so it is, these are people that really dislike the roots of this country. Really they believe that the system is so inherently flawed that the only way, the only solution is for them to act like maniacs and, you know, hope that the system collapses. And, well, hopefully, you know, the fact that they live in their own fake reality is enough to bring themselves down first. But, mm-hmm. you know, it requires a lot of level-headed, common-sense conservatives to stand up against them.
Yeah, another selfish little organization. Yep. Well, news coming out from the Blaze today. Obama enjoying a 10-to-1 financial edge over Romney. Boy, we're just not doing enough, are we?
Romney's just, he's got all these corporate supporters. He is buying this election. Oh, wait, no. He's not the one buying this election. It's the other guy.
I wonder what kind of big money people are financing the Obama campaign. Who do you think's giving him this big edge? All right, in
it is the lower and middle class. That's what it is.
Yeah, all the people on that unemployment.
That is a grassroots raising of $120-something million in a month or whatever, or 30, you know, yeah. whatever, 100. That is grassroots. It was like 30-something million in a month, but, you know, 120-something that he's got in his bank account now compared to Romney's 10 million. It's grassroots.
Romney's the silver spooner. Oh, my.
Yeah, the silver spoon in more than just his mouth.
Yes. Wow. So, let's. I shall read.
Okay.
Which will put us all to sleep. But anyway, President Barack Obama's reelection effort enjoyed a 10-to-1 financial edge over Republican rival Mitt Romney last month, outraising the former Massachusetts governor by millions as Obama suffered more than $104 million into his campaign war chest. Yes. Oh, boy. Or rather stuffed. Yes, he stuffed it. Quite hastily, I might add. But anyway, a nasty primary battle between Romney and his GOP rivals took a financial toll on his presidential campaign, which raised $12.6 million in March and left Romney with about $10 million left in the bank by month's end. All told, Obama and the Democratic Party raised a combined $53 million in donations during that period, while Romney with his party pulled in about half that. Boy, those evil rich people. Still, an anticipated fire hose of cash from the Republican super political committees and the Republican Party is likely to bring some financial parity to the general election, for which Romney only recently stated collecting donations. Super PACs like America Crossroads and nonprofit arm Crossroads GPS raised $100 million this election cycle, and groups plan to flood the airwaves in coming months with ads critical of Obama. Also helping Romney is Restore Our Future Super PAC, which reported an $8.6 million last month, largely...
Oh, they're just getting stacked compared to Obama's spending.
Yes, the evil Republicans are raising so much more than me, little old me, who's technically a one percenter, yes. But anyway, largely from a handful of wealthy donors and some continued supporters. The group, for its part, spent more than $11 million on TV spots during the month, coming off a successful track record of battering Romney GOP's primary opponents with attack ads. We know about that. For the first time since Super Tuesday, voters got a look at just how much money presidential candidates and their supporters have been taking in. Friday marks nearly 3 months since Obama's campaign changed course and asked supporters to pony up cash to a favorable super PAC, although its fundraising figures weren't yet available late Friday. Financial reports due Friday to the Federal Election Commission were expected to show how much red ink struggling campaigns are bleeding and how much money some groups have been stuffing into their war chests. The Republican National Committee reported a March, a March fundraising haul of $13.7 million, which will boost eventually GOP nominee during.
So the bottom line is, you think Romney has money? You haven't looked at Barack Obama.
No.
And there's more news still. You know, Corzine, who is already being investigated for illegal bundling of large amounts of cash, you know, to circumvent, you know, the, you know, finance laws that are on the books, still doing it by the millions.
Why is it the ones that seem to be breaking or wanting, you know, all this election reform, you know, campaign reform, the ones breaking it the most, as it seems? I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems like they're the same people that are also fighting to keep voter ID laws off the books.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, that would seem like a way to reduce fraud. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, I don't think we need to read any more of this. We all know that.
So
we all know it's just a bunch of crap that, you know,
a bunch of crap that we're dealing with on 420.
Oh, let's not even bring that up. Good old 420. Idiots. But anyway, I don't know. Do we want to get into the Zimmerman thing again? Dershowitz and blasting Zimmerman prosecution.
I mean, for everyone, you know, Dershowitz has made, you know, the program a couple of times now. He's a liberal Harvard professor.
Yes, he is.
Who originally made headlines by saying that he will not support a candidate with connections to Media Matters. Any connections.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's strong coming from him.
Mm-hmm. Has to do with a lot of the anti-Semitic stuff they've been doing. So, you know, I mean, he's still, you know, he's still a substantial liberal and everything like that. I don't debate that. But, you know, he's had some scattered showers of common sense. And I saw this headline, and I guess this was another example of it.
All right, well, we'll get into it here. From Breitbart, as we mentioned the headline again, Dershowitz blasts Zimmerman prosecution not only immoral, but stupid. Well said. With ABC News' release of George Zimmerman photo showing blood flowing freely from his head, the question becomes whether Angela Corey, the prosecutor in the case, had access to the photo before charging Zimmerman with second-degree murder. The arrest affidavit did not mention the photograph or bleeding gashes and bruises on Zimmerman's head. Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law stated upon release of the arrest affidavit that it was so thin that it would make it past a judge on a second-degree murder charge. Everything in the affidavit is completely consistent with a defense of self-defense. After the release of the photo, however, Dershowitz went much further, telling Breitbart News that if the prosecutors did have the photo and didn't mention it in the affidavit, that would constitute a grave ethical violation, since affidavits are supposed to contain all relevant information. I was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dog and pony show. Dershowitz continued, an affidavit that willingly misstates undisputed evidence known to the prosecution is not only unethical, but borders on perjury, because an affidavit swears to tell not only the truth, but the whole truth, and suppressing any important part of the whole truth is a lie. When asked if it made a difference whether the prosecution had the bloody photograph at the time they charged Zimmerman, Dershowitz responded, We do know that there were earlier photographs before the affidavit was done that strongly suggested blood on the back of the head, and we know the police had first access to him, so if there was blood, they, the prosecution, would know about it.
True.
I know. And that's, you know, the more you dug into this, I mean, this is stuff that some outlets have actually reported on, and why the whole massive media hasn't even touched on half of these points, I mean, doesn't surprise me, but it,
yeah,
it
because
has to
they've
make
wanted
you
a narrative of their own that they've invented to play out from the beginning.
Yeah,
and you know, for them to come out and admit that now would make them look bad. So
I've before we finish, I've come to the conclusion on two things, and they were basically my thoughts a quarter of the way through this whole thing. Number one, you know, this is all about dividing race further, as well as eliminating that law in Florida and gun control, just for a broader term.
It is.
This is what it's about. Dividing the races and gun control. Plain and simple.
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned yesterday, I mean, you know, it really, you know, made me believe it was all about that was when Van Jones couldn't even get the kid's name right.
Right.
It's like, you know, just told me, you know what, they haven't been thinking about Trayvon from the beginning. It's never been about him.
No.
It's been about using this incident as a tool to enact what they've been fighting for, you know, to institute for decades.
And the media's implementing it so well. But anyway, Dershowitz continues, I've had cases in Florida against prosecutors, and this is not the first time they've willfully omitted explicatory evidence. It is a continuing...
Explicatory.
There you go. It's a continuing problem. Here, it's not only immoral, but stupid. The whole country is watching. What do they benefit from having half-truths in an affidavit? Dershowitz added, I'm not taking sides, but I'm insisting that both sides play by the rules, and so far, the prosecution is not playing by the rules. Wouldn't it be great if Dershowitz jumped on board? That would be funny, just to get them. I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what would the left do?
I don't know. I mean, what is, you know, with how left-wing Dershowitz is, what is his driving force behind these scattered showers of common sense of his? That's what I want to know.
I think the truth.
Is he starting to rethink some of, you know, the things he's thought? Or is it, you know, is he... You know, is this something he's always believed? I don't know. I mean, you know, is he reaching a point where he's starting to question more and more in his
I don't know.
Understanding of things?
I think he respects the law, and I think he sees that they're not following it. I think he holds that to his, you know, chest very, you know, well.
I mean, this is how the left exposes themselves and turns people against them, is when they continue to show their hypocrisy.
Right.
And their unwillingness to follow the law. And, you know, so when you have someone as far left as Dershowitz who's starting to realize the hypocrisy of, you know, some of the things the left is doing, that's dangerous for their cause. So that's why, you know, I'm pointing that out.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, it's great for us, but, you know, it's rather rather curious. I don't know.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of nice to see that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It shows me, like I said, I think it's about the law, and he's seeing it's BS. So our next, well, yeah, we'll do this, we'll take a break, I guess. But go ahead.
Huh?
I was just going to do the whole Media Matters hates Christians, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, well, we're pretty much at, you know, the two-thirds mark, if you want to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do
hit
that.
Hit the block now, and then we can take Media Matters for their wonderful, wonderful, what's the word to describe Media Matters? I don't even know. It's
crap. Pretty much.
They're a hideous, hideous organization. So I guess that's the best way to explain it. The Islam's the only religion that they won't even criticize. Everything else they'll bash, you know, away. If you're Christian, you're evil. If you're Jewish, you're evil. David Brock is, you know, he's one of the most paranoid people on Earth. But, you know, he's runs a rather clandestine and, you know, to think that they're a tax-exempt nonprofit. I'll put it that way.
Oh, boy.
Get away with an awful lot, don't they?
But, so, yeah, you know, I guess media matters.
Mm-hmm.
It especially matters now. Because they're so poignant.
They're so intelligent over there.
They are. They're helping us all find out the truth about everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to get it out.
Get to the bottom of something.
Yes.
I'm not sure what it'll be, but they'll get to the bottom of something.
Oh,
and I think it'll be rock bottom, but that's another story.
All right. Well, we'll take our little break. We'll be back. You are listening to the American Beacon Radio Show here on Full Gamut Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Why don't you come downstairs?
The Cellar. This is where you seek shelter from the same old songs.
60s.
It's all too beautiful.
70s.
80s.
90s.
You never know what you might find down here.
You need to come on down to the cellar. Come on down to the cellar.
You're funny.
You're insane. The cellar's the safest place.
It's The Cellar with Diamond Joe.
Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, boom.
Full Gamut Radio. We aren't the best internet radio station out there.
Aw, come on, guys.
But we're getting close. Full Gamut Radio.
Join your host, Matt Crevin, for Beyond the Game, a show that takes you behind the scenes of a particular sport and lets you take on the role of coach, manager, or maybe even team owner. That's Beyond the Game, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on Full Gamut Radio, the Full Gamut Radio, at FGRN.net.
It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control, and if you can take it, all about your debt, and if you can pay it, it's all about pay.
It's the NFL on steroids. The Pay Dirt Football Show. Every week on this station. See the schedule page for day and time.
Hey, Grandma, turn up your hearing aid.
It's fun, frolic, and mayhem. It's the Behind the Mic Show with Joe Mahalik. Be there as he tries to answer some of life's most difficult questions.
If you could be any kind of food, what would it be?
Well, that's a little too weird.
That's Sunday night, 8 p.m., right here on the Behind the Mic Radio Network.
Assembly not required.
Hi, this is Ray Gauthier. Join me every week for the best 2 hours in radio. Let me take you back to the 80s. Every week, we count down the top 10 songs from a randomly selected date in the 80s. We'll have requests, dedications, and a full lineup of the best music ever made. And you can hear it right here on Full Gamut Radio at www.fgrn.net.
Gotta get back in time.
Thank you for listening to Full Gamut Radio at fgrn.net.
In 1966 in Anchorage, Alaska, a talented child was born. He would go on to be one out of only 11 Alaskans to make it to the major leagues. The odds of him striking out more than 3,000 hitters? 1 in 33 million. The odds of this pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism is getting closer to home. From 1 in 5,000 only 20 years ago, today 1 in 110 children are diagnosed. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oops, I'm going to get bleeped.
And we're back.
Yeah. Bleep.
Yes, a big bleep and bunch of bleep.
So we've got a wonderful front group named Media Matters that I guess we're going to be talking about this segment.
Yes, we are. And boy, how they hate Christians.
Oh, aren't they so... I can't stand Christians.
I know.
Mean, they're just like, you know, all about, you know, faith and things, you know, and...
Which they hate.
Yeah.
They hate that.
Yeah.
Seen it more and more, but anyway.
And they're so bigoted. I mean, they're the...
They turn the other cheek, you know, when someone rejects Christianity,
right.
They don't go out and blow up them or...
I know, aren't they horrible?
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, CBN.
Yes.
Those evil people. CBN News has uncovered Media Matters for America's... what? I can't read right now. Foundational IRS documents. Excuse me. My eyes are really shot. I need to go to an optometrist.
Yeah.
But anyway. And they show that Media Matters was constructed as a weapon against Christians. Wow. According to its application for nonprofit status, it was created in order to counter pro-Christian bias in news reporting and analysis by American media. Go figure.
Terrible.
It was common for news and commentary by the press to present viewpoints that tend to overly promote a conservative, Christian-influenced ideology.
Oh.
Oh, my. Yet... Oh, boy, here's a name. Vince, what? Caljalensi? Something like that. Of the Daily Caller points out, the public mission of MMFA somehow leaves out that little tidbit of information. That's typical. The real agenda of MMFA is to cover for the ultra-left, which despises both Israel and Christian America that supports it. As we've been exposing all week, Media Matters is filled to the gills with anti-Israeli extremists. And all of those anti-Israel extremists despise Christians just as much. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. I mean, it was kind of obvious through what they've put out all along. So, but it's nice to see.
Yeah.
The more they're exposed, at least people are having a clear point.
I mean, they've already
gotten
to a point where no one really takes them seriously. It's not like they've ever really been a true relevant force. The only way they have... is the fact that they've had a news organization, quote unquote, that comes out and loves to report their quote unquote research,
right?
As the Media Matters has practically written many a monologue for in MSNBC hosts.
Yeah.
So. That's really their whole wingspan of influence.
I hear you. It's like I said, it's pretty obvious, and the people that listen to it and believe it for it just amazes me. I don't know. I'm awfully amazed, you know, this just these past 3 and something months, you know, 3 years and something months. I just can't even believe what's coming next, you know? It hasn't even come out yet, and I'm dismayed by it. But anyway, it is what it is. Well, Occupy, another Occupy story. Promises biggest shutdown the city of New York has ever seen. Blockade of San Fran. Yeah. This by Dan, what is it, Gaynor. Dan Gaynor, CNSnews.com. As part of Occupy Wall Street's call for a nationwide general strike, May 1st, elements within the group are looking to shut down bridges and tunnels in both New York and San Francisco. Boy, what caring people. And
yeah, I mean, I've noticed that this group really loves to threaten. And the success of their threats to this point have been relatively low. Like, they wanted to take over CPAC in February. That didn't really work out. No, it didn't work out at all, actually.
Well, didn't they even threaten to shut down Wall Street and the subway systems in New York as well?
That's what they threatened to do on November 17th. Yeah, we remember covering that.
Yeah.
And, it didn't work out either. They ended up just getting corralled between several blocks. So, I mean, these are, you know, as much as they claim that they're organized, they're really, if you call organized people that are just marching aimlessly through, streets and sidewalks... Mm-hmm. You know, not even knowing which direction they're trying to go. You know, groupthink types. I don't know. I don't consider that very well organized. I just consider that, you know, a bunch of groupthink types who are, below normal IQ. Put it that way. But we can go on. We can engage what their little plan is, you know, in their new version of reality. Because you know what? There are some things that they do that are rather disruptive and do, endanger people who are just trying to go out their daily lives. Because, you know, the thing is, many of a handful of them are very much into the idea of eventual violence as an alternative. So, so there is a degree in which you have to take these idle threats seriously, because although not all of them mean it, some of them do.
Yes. Totally. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Well, here we go. Occupy Oakland, the most radical of all local Occupy groups, passed a resolution April 15th that vows to shut down all travel from Marin to San Francisco. If any of the unions on the Golden State Bridge declare a strike or shutdown action on May Day, we will act in solidarity with these striking workers and the international call for a general strike on May Day by blockading the flow of the Capitol to the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. This will be accomplished by a collaboration of pickets and direct action, which will shut down all modes of transportation from Miami to San Francisco, went the statement on the website OccupyTheBridge.com. The May Day flyer from the Golden Gate Labor Coalition calls for a protest next to the bridge that insists the bridge district also don't reduce vested retiree benefits, don't reduce current employee benefits, and don't reward non-union employees with raises while breaking promises to union workers. The East Coast response to this shutdown comes from the website strikesaverb.net and claims autonomous direct action groups within Occupy Wall Street as a part of the global mobilizations for general strike and economic noncompliance will block one or more Manhattan-bound bridge or tunnel to protest the shameful opulence of the 1%. Yes. Shameful.
Yeah.
Where do they think all the everything came from, to be honest with you? You know, the funding and all. It was all government funded, right? Right? I mean, the businessmen with, you know, donations to make parks and walkways. None of them contributed anything to this. It's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. The announcement went on to cite how Occupy Wall Street had shut the Brooklyn Bridge and other closure of that bridge, as well as the Holland Tunnel. The release claimed, but this May 1st, we will create the biggest shutdown the city of New York has ever seen.
Oh, they're going to talk about the opulence of the 1%. I'm going to talk about the petulance of the 2%.
Yes.
And I'm giving them a lot of credit by calling them 2% because I don't think that's what they really are. But,
well, they are number two, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I agree with that. I believe that's accurate. You know, there's many descriptions that can go into what they actually are.
Yes.
But
as well as
I mean, what's one real solution that they had to fix problems other than, oh, those evil guys are keeping us down? No, it's because you're not working.
Yeah.
You know, if you had a job, you'd be in much better shape. You know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know.
Mm.
Well, it should just be handed to them. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
They're entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But anyway, we are announcing these blockades now as fair warning to the rest of the working people of New York and New Jersey who are considering joining the strikes and mobilizations of the day. The city will be shut down. So enjoy the day without the 99% warn the site. Occupy Wall Street has been a global anti-capitalism protest that, according to Occupy arrests, has resulted in 6,877 arrests so far. While the movement went largely dominant over the winter, it has vowed to come strong in the spring. Oh, yes.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
They're strong. That comeback is supposed to be May 1st when the group has promised millions of people throughout the world, workers, students, immigrants, professionals, houseworkers, employed and unemployed alike, will take to the streets to unite in a general strike against a system that does not work for us. Boy, this is a general strike. Weren't those terms used in communism? I may be wrong, but the May 1st rally is being organized by a coalition of Occupy Wall Street, Alliance for Labor Rights, Immigrant Rights, Jobs for All, May 1st Coalition for Immigrant and Workers' Rights, and Immigrant and Community Organizations. At least 83 groups are listed as endorsing the general strike, many of them unions. Oh, they're our friends.
Yeah, they are.
Those included several locals from the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Workers, Service Employees International and International Union, United Automobile, Aerospace, and Agricultural Implement Workers of America. Several racial groups are part of the coalition, including Freedom, Freedom Socialist Party, the anti-Israel group Labor for Palestine, and the NYS District Communist Party USA. At least two journalist unions are part of the protest. Those include the Writers Guild of America East, a labor union of thousands of professionals who are primary creators of what is seen or heard on television and film in the U.S., as well as the writers of a growing portion of original digital media content. And there's one more, the CWA Local 31003, the New York Newspaper Guild, as well as two other Communication Workers of America locals. Unreal. But it is. Golly. That says it all. They're just a bunch of kids that mean well. They're just trying to fix it all. They're fixing something.
Yeah. Yeah, they're repairing the... I don't know. I can't give them credit for even doing that.
Hey, they're doing what the Founding Fathers intended.
You know what these people are? It's not like they're new.
No,
these are the same exact people that we have been dealing with for years. They started as the 60s movement.
There you go.
You know, the little, you know, the hippie anti-war, rah, rah, rah. Then they went into, you know, I don't know, they went into hibernation for a little while. They came back, you know, in the 90s for a little while as that, you know, with the Clinton era.
Yeah.
And they came back again with Bush, you know, with the, you know, after, like, we had the Iraq War for a couple years. These are the same people who have been plotting and plotting about their little, you know, their little schemes of how to infiltrate, of how to divide, of how to, you know, bring down. This is something they've been doing for you. These do not represent normal, everyday Americans. No. These people are an isolated clan. Yeah, that's what I'll call them.
But
they've
got a lot of people conned into thinking they are. So you know what I'm saying, that they're for the people.
They speak loud enough and they get enough sympathetic media coverage, and then you can convince people, of whatever you want them to, you know, to convince them of.
Yep. Scary, sad, disgusting, many terms describing this. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. Let's shut it all down. These just occupiers.
Let's just occupy everything. Let's bring it down. Yeah. You know, we can have a party at the same time.
Well,
yeah, we'll have some fun, dude. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I'm kind of hoping for now. With it becoming clear now who the nominee is, it's time for the Tea Party people and, you know, the conservatives, everybody to get together here and start putting it together and showing what it is. Breitbart trailer has shown, I've already seen some really good, poignant political campaigns being put together as far as, you know, advertisements, media that are, you know, basically what we've all described these past months that these candidates should have done in the primary. We're finally seeing it focused on what Obama's record has done to, you know, the country, what state we're in now. So, thankfully, that's happening. But any final thoughts, Ryan, before we shut down for the evening?
Don't huff paint or... Oh, okay. No,
come on, don't don't steal my thunder. That's like another 2 hours away. Stop it.
It's...
But it's just poignant. It's
important right now because it feels like so many people are doing it.
Well, I guess we could address it to the occupiers. Don't huff paint.
All right, fine. I'll rephrase. Don't 420.
Yes. Don't smoke crack. Stay out of jail. it's right there for you. But anyway, it's been fun.
This isn't Monopoly. There's no get out of jail free cards. So
no.
It's, yeah.
And check out the archives on theamericanbeacon.com as well as listening to Full Gamut Radio Saturday.
If you're so self-deprecating that you need to hear this entire show again, then yes, please check out the archives because you can hear us talk all over again.
Actually, you know, I'd like to meet these people that want to listen to this again.
You would?
Yes.
Yeah. So
our parents and family members.
Oh, nice. I guarantee you it's not my parents and family listening.
Really?
No.
My dad gets a kick out of you and Bill.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. He was going to write a nasty letter to Bill, though, for all the mean things he says about me. But, you know. I can't wait for that to be read over the air.
We ask rather than people leave write nasty letters, although you can do that. We have our email. If you go to theamericanbeacon.com/contact, I believe, you can contact us in any way imaginable.
There you go.
Whether it's by email address, leaving a comment, or even calling us up.
Or calling you out.
Calling us up. Out. Anything.
But there's not much to call out on. Not lately.
I mean, the whole thing is, you know, we don't hold punches.
No.
So we don't expect people listening to either. If you want to call us out, if you want to, you know, if you've got some reason to, you know, harp on us, feel free. Because you know what? Chances are I'm going to stand behind something I said. And, you know, any criticism that comes out of it will be like my, you know, Pac-Man pellets or something.
There you go. Well, good night, everybody. It's been fun. You've been listening to the American Beacon.
Have a great weekend and stick around for the Dictator Ron show.
Yes, the circus that's approaching in about 5 minutes.
What's a little preview of what you're going to be yapping about tonight?
Oh, boy. You know, really, some current event stuff, some crazy stories I've read in the news, not even sports-related, as well as the Blackhawks facing elimination now, the Bulls and their injury problems. Some really exciting stuff, let me tell you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So...
with that being said,
no more bounty stuff tonight.
No, I'm. Who knows? I'm sure something will come up. Maybe we'll focus more on bounty paper towels.
That's a good topic. I wish people would talk about that more. So
you know, get them a sponsorship for a segment or something. It'd be great. But anyway, good night, Ryan. Good night, everybody.
Have a great
weekend,
folks.
Yep, and. You know, stay out of trouble, especially on 420. Good night.
Fortunately, 420 is almost over.
I'm at war with the world and they try to pull me into the dark. I struggle to find my way as I'm slipping from your arms.